Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
The Rob Brown Show back on your radio. This is ESPN Upstate. Rob, Lonzo, and you. I am Rob Brown. He is the great one. The hugger. Hashtag hug life. Thanks for joining us today. Hashtag bad dad sports jokes. That's what we're looking for today. What's your bad dad sports jokes? Here's a few that have come in so far. At ESPN, why are the corners of a hockey rink rounded? Because if they were 90 degrees, the ice would melt. At ESPN, why do the Germans always get beat by the Canadians? Because the Germans bring their worst, while the Canadians bring their A game. That's the winner so far. Clubhouse leader, Lonzo? Clubhouse leader on the dad jokes?
Oh, without a doubt.
That's a clubhouse leader. At ESPN, why are basketball players the messiest eaters? Because they're always dribbling. At ESPN, I've been trying to tell people about dried grapes, but it's hard raising awareness. Not a sports joke. I'll allow it. At ESPN, what makes pancakes and baseball teams similar? For anyone to like them, they need good batters. At ESPN, why are hockey players so shy? Because they hate to break the ice. At ESPN, Rob, where do you keep your baseball mitt while driving? In the glove compartment. Second place, though topical. At ESPN, I guess Oklahoma and Texas are O-U-T. But hey. Keep your bad dad sports jokes coming in on the Ingles Market text line at 71307-71307 if you want to text into the show. Texter says ESPN is implying that the NIL is the reason Texas and Oklahoma are moving into the SEC. Bigger brands and more money for athletes. I don't know, man. I don't know. Texas is a pretty healthy state to be in for money, right? Pretty healthy state as far as the corporate side of things go. Pretty healthy state to be in, monetarily speaking, for these athletes, I think. I think they're in good shape there. There's a possibility. Because the SEC has more of a national prevalence than Texas and Oklahoma do, both on their own naturally and as members of the Big 12. So it's possible at least, that is the reason. But we talked a little bit about it. I think that you are in a spot. I think that you are in a spot that is a bigger threat to college football than NIL or anything else ever has been to the sport. You guys know me. When NIL got signed, I told the doomsday prophets, hey, relax. College football's not going anywhere. Tactical cough button deployed. College football's not going anywhere. College football's not going to die because the players are going to get some cashola in the pocket. get a little bread in the cabinet. It's not dying because of that. I try not to knee-jerk. I don't like to knee-jerk reaction. I think it gets you into some pretty rough spots if you start to drop knee-jerk reactions. It's a pretty tough spot. I try not to react, to overreact, I guess is the better way to put it. I try not to overreact. I don't think I'm overreacting to say that college football as we know it faces its biggest threat today. As we know it. Not that it will end. Not that it is done by any stretch of the imagination. When it comes down to it, you are looking at the creation of a Southeastern mega conference. They have increased the reasons to join the mega conference. Why? USA Today did an analysis earlier. By the way, not to interrupt, what a collapse by the U.S. on the rugby pitch. Had Great Britain down 21-0 and lost 27-21. What a collapse by the Americans in sevens rugby. Anyway. So, you've got this SEC mega conference at this point. The USA Today folks did an analysis and said they believe that the SEC has the capability of making $1.3 billion a year as a conference with Texas and Oklahoma in the fold. $1.3 billion as a conference. That would match or outpace the NCAA as an organization. Not the other conferences. The NCAA as a whole. At that point, the SEC is the authority in college football. I don't think the NCAA can regulate. The SEC just does what they want to do within, because they can at that point say to the NCAA, and I think this is, I don't want to say inevitable, I'll say probable. They could at that point say to the NCAA, oh, you don't like that we're doing this thing. We understand. And we're out. And just make their own thing. Lonzo, you have said for a while, and we had a texter say earlier in the show, that they are fine with the super conferences because the NCAA are, quote, corrupt, worthless bastards, end quote. And a lot of folks, I think, and I could be wrong here, Lonzo, correct me if I am, but there's a lot of folks, and I think you're one of them, that has been, let's say, hesitant about the NCAA maintaining the central power in college football. Fair? Unfair?
Well, definitely fair.
Okay. This is the point. You guys have asked many times in the past, what is the point where the conferences will say to the NCAA, hey, deuces, we out. And just bail and do their own thing. And I will tell you, I don't know where the exact point is, but I know the SEC has just taken a long jump towards it.
So when the SEC Super Conference decides, you know what, we're no longer participating in the NCAA playoffs to crown a champion, we're going to crown our own champion because it's obvious the talent elsewhere is inferior, and whoever wins the SEC is the real champion. Then what happens?
Don't know. Good question. Great question. Maybe the ACC joins them. Hey, you know what? We're out too. We don't need the NCAA telling us what we can and can't do. We're going to create our own football league as well. And at the end of the year, we'll have an ACC and an SEC champion, and they'll play for the national championship. And then maybe the Pac-12 joins them. Again, I'm utilizing a fallacy I said yesterday you should not, which is slippery slope. But I don't know. If the SEC says, screw this, we're out of the NCAA, we believe that the best football team in the country is going to come out of our conference every single year, so we're just going to do our own thing so that we're not regulated. But if other conferences join them, as far as I can see, though I acknowledge maybe I haven't thought this out all the way, feel free to correct me if you come up with something different. If the SEC says, we done, we out, hashtag later, and take off, there's only two possible outcomes after that. Number one, they basically end up creating a bunch of different conferences that each do their own thing. They end up creating a bunch of different conferences, and we, instead of having a national champion, we have a bunch of conference champions, and that's just it. Or, number two, a bunch of other conferences get together and they come up with a playoff plan. The champion of every conference plays, the champion in the next two, whatever it might be. In which case, you've just created the NCAA. You've just made a new one. And maybe the power lies with every individual conference having a committee member as opposed to one president.
But if you start from the ground up, even if you do create a basically a new NCAA, you start from the ground up, maybe you fix some of the things that are wrong with the present NCAA.
Maybe. Here's hoping, fingers crossed. But I feel like it's just another step towards where you are. I make this joke. I made this joke for a while about cable cutting, right? Because we're getting all these subscription services based on streaming popping up now. You got Netflix that kind of started it. But now you got YouTube TV and the Paramount Network and ESPN Plus and ABC has their own streaming and Disney Plus and NBC has Peacock. I used to pay Lonzo, you know, $140, $150 bucks a month so that I could have all these channels on my TV to watch what I wanted to watch. And then I said, hey, let me cut the cord. Just get Netflix. Pick up a couple of streaming apps. But now I have to have Disney Plus. I have to have ESPN. I have to have Peacock because The Office and Parks and Rec are both on there. I got to have Amazon Prime because The Boys, which I started watching. Thank you, Keegan, by the way.
I'm only a couple episodes. Like I said, don't think you can watch multiple episodes in a row.
It's a tough show.
Yes, it is.
It's a tough show to get through.
And I can't watch it when my wife is anywhere around.
Yeah. It is a tough show designed to make you uncomfortable. And it works. We'll come back to that later. Point is, you got to have, at this point, 15 different streaming services to get everything you want to watch. And guess what? It costs you the same as it used to cost you to have a freaking cable box in your house. I feel like that's kind of the system we're getting here in college football. In order to get away from the NCAA, we are threatening to form a new NCAA. It's just a theory. I don't know that it's for sure going to happen. But I don't know, man. I don't know. I guess that's the frustrating thing. Because here's the thing. Mark Ryan and I have had this conversation all the time, right? Where we talk about our job. What is our responsibility to you, the listener? What's our job? And we both kind of fall in the same place, which is why I think this station works and we work well together. We have the similar goal, which is through analysis, through research, through watching more sports than most likely all of you, because that's part of the job. Our job is to take all of that and what? form opinions and share opinions. That's our job, to form and share opinions with you. But in order to form and share an opinion, we got to know what's going on and have a belief on what's next. And what's frustrating for me here, Lonzo, is that I don't have a freaking clue, and I don't think anybody else does either. We got guesses. We got theories. We can come up with some thoughts about possibilities. I got a handful of possibilities that I think could happen lined up for you. It's possible we end up with four or five super conferences not regulated by an NCAA-style body that all have their own conference champs, and we just select whatever champ we want. It's what they used to do back in the AP, remember? Used to be that at the end of the year, the news writers all got together, put together a poll, and whoever they voted as number one, that was your national champ, without ever playing each other. Then we got the BCS, then we got the playoffs, now expansion to playoffs, and that might go away before it kicks in. I don't know, is the answer. I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know how it happens. I got a bunch of guesses, bunch of theories, and I don't know how likely any of them are compared to the rest, to tell you the truth. So I don't know. I guess that's what's, and it makes sense, Lonzo, that we're all kind of freaking out about this a little bit. Scratch that. Many/most of us are freaking out about this. Not because we're like, oh, this is inherently bad. Change isn't inherently bad. Change can be good. Progress is only made through change. However, if there are unintended consequences, Stathakis and I had a conversation about this a few days, the premise of unintended consequences. Sometimes unintended consequences create a situation that is more negative than what you were in the first place. It happens. But I don't know here, man. I don't know here. I don't know what's going
to
happen.
You have to wonder, are they how far ahead are they thinking? And that's the thing. How far ahead are they thinking? It's you talk about, I mean, if we do this, this could happen. If we do this, this could happen. Are they thinking that far ahead? Or is it just about, hey, a couple of teams want to join the conference, and that's as far as they think?
I don't know, man. I mean, I'll tell you right now. We said on the show before, and I've said it on the show before as a joke, if you put a $1 million check in front of me, the list of things that I would not do for that check is pretty short. And it's not really a joke. See, a phrase, money can't solve your problems. I got news for you. Money would solve a lot of my problems. And the problems it solved would make it easier to focus on the other problems that I can't deal with because I'm too busy worried about the problems that would be solved by $1 million. So the list of things I would do for $1 million is pretty extensive. That's effectively the driver here. If you're the SEC, it's nice to think that the college football authorities in question here might look and go, what are some of the unintended consequences that might pop up based on our decision to add Texas and Oklahoma? And maybe they're thinking ahead about them. But at the end of the day, right in front of them on a sheet of paper, Lonzo, it says valuation of addition, $1.3 billion annually. And much like me with that $1 million check, some of the things that I might get asked to do for $1 million could have some long-term unforeseen consequences. But the benefits of seven figures showing up in my checking account overnight far outweigh those in the short term. That's where the SEC is. And I don't blame them for it. I get it. We have created a collegiate system that money is the foundation. To like it, it is what it is. So to answer Lonzo's thought there, yeah, I'm sure the SEC is probably thinking about potential long-term consequences. But if you went to the Southeastern Conference and said, you as an entity can make $1.3 billion a year between 16 schools, but it comes at the degradation of every other college football entity out there, the majority of them are going to go, yeah, well, what do you want? Tis what it tis. Because we going to be fine. We're rolling $1.3 billion a year. We going to be all right. And if Iowa State can't make it, too bad, so sad. Sucks to be you. That's what this is for. So I don't know. Do I think there are unintended, unforeseen consequences? Yes. Unintended, unforeseen consequences don't scare me a lot of the time. They don't. Because change is the only thing that shapes progress. However, this has some consequences that look like they can be foreseen. And there are going to be some folks that go, yeah, I see that being a problem, and I don't care because I have $1 billion. Not to get political, but that's the point that everybody's making yelling at Jeff Bezos, right? They're going, Bezos, you're creating this list of problems. Underpaid workers, Amazon drivers documenting the fact that they have to go to the bathroom in a bottle in their station because they're not allowed a break to go to the bathroom. And Bezos is going, oh, yeah, we'll fix those eventually. Let me finish counting my billions of dollars. And I'm worried that's the SEC destination, frankly. If you're an SEC fan, this is great for you. Your product's about to get better. You're going to be rolling 30, 40, 50 million a year deeper than you were before. But if you're Kansas, Kansas State, Iowa, Iowa State, Oklahoma State, Texas Tech, Baylor, not great for you. All right, let's take a break. When we come back here in just a minute from right now, Lonzo has all the dressage analysis you could possibly want. He'll give you a full breakdown on the gold medal round of dancing horses when we come back on the Rob Brown Show on ESPN Upstate.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Dressage.
Dressage. Dancing, prancing horses, ladies and gentlemen, and Lonzo is here for it.
Here is my analysis. That there's a pretty horse. There we go.
Now on to talk Olympic caliber dressage with us. All the dancing horse breakdown you could possibly want. From Sports Illustrated's AllClemson.com, Owen Watterson, a gentleman I had the pleasure of meeting in person at Clemson's Media Day last week. Then we got to spend a few minutes together at ACC kickoff in Charlotte. Joins us for the first time here on the Rob Brown Show. Owen, my dude, what's up, fella? Welcome in, man. Great to have you, buddy.
Thanks for having me, Rob. I'm super excited to be here. You know, Media Day was a cluster in and of itself, and you know, we had a good time at the Media Olympics, right? You know, the Media Olympics that Clemson put on. I think some fans don't really understand what lengths they go to treat their media the right way. So it was a great event. Rob wasn't able to carry us to victory, and I definitely let the team down in just about every area. So yeah, man, it's great to be here. Thanks for having me.
First off, I would like to say that I carried the team to a tie for first place, Owen, and the only reason we didn't get first is because we got sniped by a Clemson basketball player who still holds shooting records for that university. I gotta tell you, I'm usually pretty upset about a second place, Owen. I accept being defeated by a collegiate All-American who's still in the Clemson record books. I don't know what else I could have done.
Oh, no, I'm totally with you there, man. You know, basketball was where I thought it was going to excel the most, and you even beat me there. So to get beat out by a Clemson basketball player, a former guy, no, you're totally right. No shame in that. Cornhole was definitely not where I was destined to pursue, I guess, my further career. You know, getting told by CJ Spiller that I got to stop topping the golf ball was never a good feeling either. But overall, just a great day. It's been a great week in Clemson media. Finally getting off-season rolling. Fall camp starts next week. Just sports in general, man. NBA draft Thursday. NFL teams are reporting to camp. A lot of stuff going on.
Yeah, let's get to Clemson a little bit. Mainly because I am over talking about the Media Olympics. We deserved a better result. Let's talk Clemson a little bit. So we got to sit down on Thursday morning with DJ Uiagalelei, do the first interview with him in person. A couple of things stand out about that kid. Number one, if he is feeling any pressure to replace Trevor Lawrence, the number one overall pick in last year's NFL, well, I guess this year's NFL draft, you wouldn't know it from a face-to-face conversation with the kid. The second thing is I asked him specifically in his mind, what did he think would be different about the Clemson offense with him taking TL16 spot? And his answer, Owen, effectively was not that much. He said Trevor was, you know, there's this thought that with DJ at the helm, they might run the ball more and more design runs. He said, hey, Trevor was faster than me. He was a better runner than me. We are going to play Dabo's offense and Tony Elliott's offense the way that they have been doing it. How much stock do you put into what DJ said there?
I think he's totally right. You know, while I think a lot of people have put stock into the fact that Tony Elliott might run more read options this year with the way Uiagalelei under the helm, I think he's exactly right. I mean, they have more receiving talent this year by far than they did last year with some of the injury concerns, Frank Ladson Jr., Joseph Ngata in particular. And the depth that they have at receiver this year just doesn't really give too much too much need, right? I mean, especially with the issues that at backup quarterback, Tyson Pumachon getting hurt. Dabo just said the other day at Media Olympics and at Media Days in Charlotte that his recovery is a lot further along than they anticipated, but that still doesn't take away from the fact that without him available, Hunter Helms is still their next best quarterback. And I don't think they want to risk too much running DJ, especially, again, knowing that they really don't have to. Ajuju is the guy I think that's really going to break out a receiver this year. We still don't have 100% confirmation on Justin Ross yet, but every sign is pointing that he's going to be ready and in full contact for fall camp. He's going to be one of the best returning receivers in the nation. Joseph Ngata, some have pegged him as a first-round pick. And then to top it all off, the offensive line lost some pieces and is great in the running back room. While it may be running back by committee approach this year, they have four or five backs that are ready to go and make an impact at just about any time throughout the game. So to top it all off, icing on the cake, Tony Elliott just said the other day the tight end room is as deep as it's been since he's got there. Even with the Jordan Leggett championship winning teams, I mean, they are deep at every single position on offense this year, and I just don't see any need for them to risk running DJ more than they have to. Not to say it's not going to be mixed in there some, but I don't expect that to be a high part of their offense this year. I think we got it right on the money.
Owen Watterson making his debut here on the Rob Brown Show. He's a staff writer for Sports Illustrated's AllClemson.com and the creator of the QueenCityCollective.com, covering all things Charlotte sports, making his debut here on the Rob Brown Show on ESPN Upstate. Tony Elliott impressed me, man. I was chatting with that guy at Media Day, and we were talking football and just kind of introducing each other for the first time since I moved here to the Upstate. And you talk about a guy that you would want to play for, right? Now, I try not to kiss coach butt too often in this job, but had about an 8, 9, 10 minute conversation with Tony Elliott, and I can see why A, Dabo brought the guy in, and B, Clemson fans love him. He's down to earth, right? He's funny, so he's making fun of my glasses like everybody else does. But at the same time, when it was time to talk football with this guy, you can tell he's got a vision. You can tell he knows what he wants out of that team. And when they asked him about replacing those guys, he said, look, I got every bit of faith that every guy on that offense in my locker room can step up and be the next All-American if I need him to. And it didn't sound like coach speak, Owen. It sounded like he truly believed it. Can you tell me a little bit about your experiences with Tony Elliott and the stock you put in him as an offensive coordinator for the Tigers?
Well, I think Tony Elliott is exactly what Dabo Swinney wants. I mean, I think Tony Elliott and the things you just said about him, that holds true for just about every member of Dabo Swinney's staff. You know, we only get to talk to the assistants, you know, Mickey Kahn, Lemanski Hall, Tyler Grisham, the wide receivers coach, at Media Olympics like when we did, and then once bowl season starts, I believe. So we'll be talking with Coach Elliott a lot more. And you're right, he's a player's coach, just like Dabo Swinney is. And I think the way he treats his players and treats his offense just goes to speak to the program that Dabo Swinney's built. You know, on the outside looking in, I don't think a lot of folks really understand why so many people say, or recruits in particular, like, there's just something different about Clemson. But, you know, being on the inside and actually having the chance to talk to these coaches face-to-face, one-on-one, there is something different. Not just about the way they talk, the way they treat the media, the way they treat their players, their prep. I mean, all of it is just top-notch. And Tony Elliott, just like Brent Venables, I think is going to be in Clemson for a very long time. I'm excited to see what he's got cooked up this year, because he's got more weapons than I think he knows what to do with.
All right, one thing that I found very interesting when we were doing Media Day was Dabo in the comments about his NIL comments from the past. Dabo said a number of years ago, back in like 2015, early 16, that if it got to the point where players were getting paid, that he would, quote, find something else to do, end quote. Well, at Media Day, Andrea Adelson of ESPN asked him if he would like to clarify those comments, expand on them, etc. And basically what he said was, that quote got misinterpreted. What I said was if they got paid by the university, it would be more professionalism. And people are just trying to call me out. That's the world we live in, Twitter, et cetera, et cetera. Do you think the ire towards those comments by Dabo Swinney 6 years ago has been fair? Or is he right, and was he misinterpreted when he said them?
I think he was misinterpreted. I think the same with his comments about playoff expansion and things like that. Dabo was one because of the sustained success he had. Now, I feel like a homer talking about Dabo Swinney like this, but it's really just the truth since I've gotten the chance to speak with the man You know, he sticks pretty true to the things he says. You'll hear him repeat the same phrases and, you know, feelings about certain players, coaches, situations multiple times. And that's another one where you just touched on it there, Rob, that he said that it would have been that situation for him if Clemson themselves and the universities would have had to pay the players. He said multiple times that NIL, you know, the ability for these guys to just be able to go to an autograph signing is just kind of common sense. For them to get paid off their name, image, and likeness. You know, we haven't had a video game, NCAA video game, because of that same problem since, you know, 2013 in this point. So I don't really think he ever had a problem with NIL. I definitely think it got taken out of context. And it goes back to, I think, playoff expansion comment he had multiple years ago that he was always in favor of staying in the BCS-type system, that he wasn't for the original playoff expansion as it is. And because of that fact, it's exactly why he's, you know, not really in favor of going to 12 teams. Because I'm not sure where you stand on this hill, Rob, but for me, I'm with Dabo Swinney. I just don't know that there's 12 teams good enough to make that playoff, you know, the back-end type 12 seed, 11 seed players that are in there. I just don't think they're ready to win a national championship, just like Dabo said. So long story short, to round it back out to your question, I do think it was misinterpreted, as are a lot of things that Dabo Swinney says.
Yeah, you mentioned the playoff expansion there, and here's where I've fallen down on it, Owen. I agree that most years, probably the majority of most years, there aren't 12 teams. But we don't say that we want to shrink the NFL playoffs because there aren't that many teams. That we don't say we want to shrink the NBA playoffs. And look, if you consider the fact that 9, 10, 11, 12 are frequently teams that aren't going to be considered championship quality, it just means to me that there's a reward for being the top four seeds and that you kind of get a, not a bye, but an easier game to get through to the next round. My whole take has been, if I'm Dabo, if I'm Nick Saban, I understand why they don't want the playoff expanded. It's because, hey, that's one more game that stands between you and a championship when you are a team that's in the top four every single year anyway. Now there's one more game between you and the top four, maybe two more games between you and the top four. I get where he's coming from, which is why I don't hold this against him, Owen. I think he's being, and I don't want this to come across in a disrespectful way, because again, I agree with him and why he's saying it, but I think he's just being very careful with the language he's using to disguise that a little bit, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I think that goes back to something you mentioned just earlier, coach speak. And maybe he is not necessarily in favor of 12 teams. And, you know, I don't want it to be twisted. I'm excited for the expansion. You know, it looks at this point like it's going to be a done deal, like they're going to go to 12 teams. I don't want to be mistaken that I'm not excited to see some of those matchups. You know, the UCFs of past years, the Coastal Carolinas, the BYUs, you know, of last year, you know, really deserve a shot to show that, you know, they really can't compete. You know, I don't necessarily love that they've just been kicked to the curb some of these years and people just assume they can't, because who knows what playoff year we're going to get, you know, another App State type Michigan upset if we're talking about playing early round home games. A lot of things could happen, but at the end of the day, even if there are 12 teams, I'm still of the opinion that there are only going to be six good enough to really win it, even if there are upsets on certain years.
Owen Watterson from SportsIllustrated.com. He's a staff writer for AllClemson.com. A couple more questions, Owen, then we'll cut you loose. I want to make this a weekly thing or biweekly thing, if you don't mind.
Absolutely.
Love it. Love to hear it. All right, so we have been keeping an eye, obviously, on the Carolina Panthers the last couple of days. And the rumor is there are two rumors out there. Number one, now that Deshaun Watson has showed up to Houston's training camp, it looks like the Texans have decided to shift strategy and they will trade Deshaun. Yahoo Sports put out a report last week that said that there are teams actively, there are some teams that are interested, but there are three or four teams that are actively pursuing Deshaun Watson, and the Carolina Panthers are one of them. With Sam Darnold in the fold already, A, do you believe that Carolina is indeed one of the teams actively trying to instigate a trade with Deshaun? And B, if so, is that a good idea with 10 more complaints, some of them criminal, being filed against him in the last couple of days?
Well, I think the fact that I have no doubt that, you know, the new general manager, Scott Federer, is making his rounds, calling Nick Caserio, the new Texas GM, to feel out the waters, you know, feel about how they feel about this situation. But at the, on the same token, while I don't doubt that the Panthers are reaching out about Deshaun, I feel like at this point, while they like Darnold and all the sources believe that they love Darnold, that's why they spent two picks on him to bring him into Carolina after Teddy Bridgewater really just didn't work out last year. But on the same note, I think there are just more teams. If the Texans do legitimately make him available for trade, I think almost every team in the NFL is going to have at least one phone conversation with Nick Caserio. And I think there's at least three or four other teams that are willing and prepared at a pin drop to offer more than the Carolina Panthers can. At this point in their rebuilding phase, I don't really think it's the right idea to give up some of these high draft assets that the Texans are definitely going to want in return. They've done a really good job building through the draft, getting guys like Brian Burns, Jeremy Chinn in the second round, who is an absolute stud, had the two fumble recovery game against the Vikings, I believe it was, last year. And I think at this point they spent two draft picks, if I'm not mistaken, to get Sam Darnold, bring him in, and try a new regime after Bridgewater just didn't work out. I just don't see a world where they have enough, compared to some teams like the Eagles and Dolphins, to be more specific, to entice the Texans to get that done. They'd have to give up a guy like Robbie Anderson, who will have to be extended if the Panthers want to keep him after this year, but he'd have to be in there. And I think they'd have to give up younger guys like Brian Burns, Jeremy Chinn, even Derek Brown on the defensive line, who I think is set for a breakout year, in order to make that deal more enticing than what is definitely going to be on the table from other teams around the league. I think it's a great idea. I'd love to see Deshaun just 2 hours from where he played college, you know, with all the off-field stuff aside. But combined with the risk of the PR, you know, backlash, the fan backlash, whatever the case is going to be, and the capital it's going to take to get this guy to Carolina, I just can't see that it's worth it for the Carolina Panthers. They believe in Darnold. They need to go all in and be there. If it doesn't work out, so be it. But I don't think flipping just a couple months after you've got a new guy for another new guy is really sending the right message to the locker room.
Owen Watterson is a staff writer for Sports Illustrated's AllClemson.com. He is the creator of the QueenCityCollective.com, covering all things Charlotte sports. And he, if I play my cards right and bring him a gold at the Media Olympics next year, will be a weekly contributor to the show. Owen, my man, it was great to meet you in person. Great to have you on the show. Let's do it again next week, partner.
Absolutely sounds like a plan. Rob, best of luck. Thank you guys for having me on.
You got it, big guy. Also, I'd like to point out, though, that he pointed out that Rob Brown carried the team and not anybody else specifically by name that was also involved.
I do recall hearing that at the beginning of the interview.
Just wanted to make sure that was on the record, recorded in perpetuity. Back after this for a very quick segment, and then Twitter trending topics on the Rob Brown Show. It's ESPN Upstate.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
It's time for Twitter Trending Topics, where we will try to keep our eyes away from watching the judo on the screen.
Can't promise.
Which is action-packed, by the way, and talk about what's trending. All right, the first thing is Ghostbusters.
Da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. The new trailer for Ghostbusters... What's the second half of the title? Alive, never dead.
I forget. Who cares?
Regeneration.
Let's go with part three.
It's Slimer's not really, Revenge.
It's not really part three. New trailer.
Trailer dropped.
Have you seen it yet?
Not with sound. Looks good, though. Looks good. Getting good reviews is the trailer so far.
I watched it with sound earlier. I've seen the other trailers. This one, I mean, I was going to go see it anyway, but this one I really, really like. The next thing is trending is Stranger Things.
Don't know why Stranger Things is trending, but I will say David Harbour did a phenomenal job as Red Guardian in Black Widow, which, yes, Steven, I did see, finally, Steven.
All right, the reason why Stranger Things is trending because people who watched the trailer for Ghostbusters are comparing it to Stranger Things, the vibe. It might be something to do with one of the actors from Stranger Things being in Ghostbusters. Maybe that makes you think
I don't know.
That.
I don't know. I'm here for it. It looks like it's going to be, I mean, look, the OG Ghostbusters was a cult success, right? And it had a certain vibe, which was the wacky hilarity of Bill Murray and the gang. And this one looks like it's going to be a little more serious.
They've got a trap on a remote control car.
Yeah.
Dude, that is so wicked. Yeah. That is so wicked.
It looks like it's going to more follow, like the all-female Ghostbusters had my full entire support, and it was just a badly written movie. It had nothing to do with who the Ghostbusters were. It was just a poorly written movie that didn't have a lot of flow to it. This looks like it is going to be a little bit more of a serious spin on the original Ghostbusters universe, and I'm here for it.
Supernatural represented, but more supernatural on the... not so funny side. I'm sure there's going to be some fun stuff, but I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, I'm in. I'm 100% in. Do us a favor. If you want to come out to the Spartanburger Stadium on Thursday to meet Lonzo and I for ESPN Upstate Night, go to our website at ESPNUpstate.com, ESPNUpstate.com, and register to win one of four family four packs to the Thursday night game against the Forest City Owls. Lonzo and I will be there acting like a fool. Come on out, hang out with us, and if you win, Lonzo will give you a hug in person at the game.
Deacon hugs, baby.
Big hugs. Go to ESPNUpstate.com to register to win your tickets. You got one more hour with me. I'll be sitting in with Diesel until 4 o'clock right here on The Rob Brown Show and ESPN Upstate.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.